I could liken you to a werewolf, the way you left me for dead. But I admit that I provided a full moon. And I could liken you to a shark, the way you bit off my head. But then again, I was waving around a bleeding open wound. But you were such a super guy till the second you get away from me. We're like a wishing well and a bolt of electricity. But we can still support each other. All we gotta do is avoid each other. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. The lava of a volcano shot up hot from under the sea. One thing leads to another. And I could liken you to a chemical, the way you made me compound a compound. But I'm a chemical to inevitable. You and me wouldn't mix. And I could liken you to a lot of things, but I always come around. Cause in the end, I'm a sensible girl. I know the fiction of the fix. But you were such a super guy till the second you get away from me. A wishing well and a bolt of electricity. But we can still support each other. All we gotta do is avoid each other. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. Nothing wrong when a song ends in a minor key. Nothing wrong when a song.
This is Airball, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free From Radio. We're a basketball show. We talk a lot of basketball, but it's very late right now. So the plan for tonight is really just a mixture of basketball, a mixture of music, of enjoyment. We're in the scuffed Studio C, not even Studio B, we're in C. It's bad out here. It sucks. That's just objectively the way it is. But, you know, we want to be optimistic about how things are. Let me put on... Sorry. Bro, oh, mic two. I'm tripping. Here you go. Speak
hello,
now.
Hello.
Oh, he's on.
There we go. Oh, my God. Are you guys going to break the mic? Okay.
What happened?
But, yeah. We're going to talk about the Celtics winning tonight. We want to talk about... the Lakers winning tonight.
I heard you say it, but I didn't really understand what you meant.
That's some symbolic stuff going on tonight.
On the Lakers?
The Lakers. Should we talk about the Lakers?
We could talk about the Lakers.
How about the Lakers in 2K?
The Lakers in 2K? It's the same team.
Oh, we just
same
lost.
Team, just a difference in mentality, I would say.
What, would you rather have a Darvin Ham at the wheel right now or a Jonah Cowan? You know, no, I mean, down 3-0 in a series.
And Jonah Cowan's out there running 3-2 zone in the NBA.
You know, that's just sometimes how it goes, you know?
No, but...
You got to opt for a winning strategy.
Do you think you could make the adjustments against Mike Malone?
Against Mike Malone?
Yeah, yeah. Can you out-adjust Mike Malone?
Okay,
if I'm the reality... band for band with Mike Malone, I think he's going to come out on top.
What do you think the correct defensive scheme is to use in that situation?
Against Malone?
The Nuggets?
Against the Nuggets. I mean, I'm not an
NBA coach, so I don't really know, but...
I'd probably pray.
Yeah, that's...
Gesundheit.
All over my hand.
Oh, sorry.
That's just the reality.
I went like this. I turned this direction.
You dabbed on.
That's crazy.
It's tough to scheme against the Nuggets because they have a guy who is like, you can't double him. You can't. He's like not that much of a mismatch on defense.
Yeah.
But he's going to exploit a mismatch if he has any mismatch on offense. It's really hard to like scheme against him, I imagine.
I feel like with Jokic, you can't ever take away two parts of his game.
Yeah.
You can only take away one.
Mm.
Astute. That's astute of you
yes,
to say.
Yes, thank you. Jonah and I had a conversation about this on last week's airball episode, but just in terms of guarding Jokic and Aaron Gordon, Jokic and Jamal Murray, like we've seen for what, a few years now where, and this isn't the best basketball league in the world, a few years now where that is the most unstoppable action.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at the best basketball minds, the best players in the world, the best coaches in the world, and nobody can figure out how to guard it.
Yeah.
It just shows how elite it is.
There are a lot of things like that, though. I don't think it's unique to have an action that's unguardable in the NBA.
No, but it's just insane to see it.
Like, yeah, it's definitely unique in the sense that like they've been doing it for so many years.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, should we talk about the Celtics? Big statement response.
Yeah.
Winning on Miami's home court.
Yeah.
After the absolutely embarrassing game two. I'm sad that I missed an opportunity to go on airball in between these two games because I really wanted to complain about the Celtics.
What's your complaint, John?
They have no business losing even one game to this Heat team. And I understand that Eric Spoelstra is a great coach and Jaime Hawkins Jr. and Bam and all of them are great players. The Celtics team is heralded as the second coming of the 96 Bulls. They cannot be losing one game to an inferior team.
I agree.
Well, Mercury was in retrograde, though.
I mean, that's the truth, you know.
I don't know why I thought of that. I was like, what would some random ass dude say? Random dude.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I don't know. If you think they're a legitimate team, fine. I think they are, too. But you can't be losing games. That's why they responded well. You know?
Shout out Eric Spoelstra.
Imagine Eric Spoelstra on this current Lakers team. Swap Darvin Ham and Eric Spoelstra.
I saw that tweet, too.
That was a tweet?
I saw a tweet saying the exact same
thing. I mean, I'm literally just, like, cooking.
I saw a tweet that was Eric Spoelstra could win a playoff series with a team full of dudes off your Twitter timeline. Facts.
Yeah. Five Kenny Beachums.
Yeah, probably could.
Yeah, some small
He could make a YouTube basketball team look good.
I'm legitimately curious about, like, what he does differently in comparison to a guy like Michael Malone. Like, is his preparation different? Is his understanding of the game different?
I think it's really little things. I think it's things like the way he analyzes film. Like, he started in the film
room. Yeah.
The way he, like, talks to his guys. The way he, I think in game also he doesn't like lose his cool ever.
Oh, he's so smooth.
Mike Malone. Like, I mean, I doubt you can like pick like one thing and be like, oh, Spoelstra does this better than Mike Malone. But like Mike Malone loses his head, argues with the refs.
Mm-hmm.
Like he gets ejected sometimes. That doesn't happen for Eric Spoelstra. And like, I think there's sort of. It's also funny too because if you look at Eric Spoelstra, who's like probably the best coach in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the way he coaches the team, and then you look at what everyone thinks is like the best way to coach a team, a sports team in general, not just basketball, which is like yell at your players until they've submitted to you and that they can you have dominion over their actions. There's such a disconnect between what's working for Spoelstra and what people think is like the way that coaches should function.
That's an interesting point because, like, you see. Like coaches like Dagenau, all these guys who are coming in here and they do it for one season and they get Coach of the Year.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
It's Coach Spo of the Year. Every year. It's Spo. Like, Spo can do it every year. Like, that. He's just created a culture where I honestly think, like, the easy answer is, like, yeah, Heat culture. Yeah, that he just knows how to win a playoff series. But obviously, it's so much deeper than that in terms of the basketball talk. But
yeah,
genuinely, he knows how to just win a series. Like, I think what comes into play is the fact he can make. He's probably one of the best in-game adjustment coaches mm-hmm. in the league.
Yeah.
But it's just his. He knows how to run a system that mm-hmm. just creates enough looks for guys, and he gets guys that can hit those looks.
Like, the Heat system isn't that complicated per se. They just have a lot of switchable defenders. And guys that are just, like, the guards are versatile. They can guard 1 through 3. The wings can guard, like, 2 through 4 easy.
It's like a defense-first team.
And you have Bam is the anchor that makes it all work. And then you got Pat Riley on top, who has such, like, good control over the Heat organization. The everything that goes.
The pharaoh.
I mean, it all starts with good leadership.
Yeah.
And they have this beautiful structure of leadership where no one is going anywhere. Pat Riley is there until the day he dies. He's going to be decrepit on his deathbed signing contracts.
Signing, you know, some, like...
Some, like, undrafted free agent who's about to blossom into a star.
Out of a D3 school.
I mean, that's just who he is. He's a schemer. Something about, like, winning, like... I don't know. He's wired for it. He's like Jerry West. There's these old NBA guys.
Do you think...
Sitting in their front offices.
Do you think, like, a mind, like... Like the college basketball mind, like, you're looking, like, let's talk about, like, a Calipari. Do you think that, like, their mind, in terms of basketball IQ, is just way less than an NBA coach? Like if you were to put Spo,
I think it's probably hard.
If you were
to
put Spo in a college game, would he just be able to adjust right away because he knows basketball that well?
I think,
or is it just because of, like, the personnel he has on a, and yeah, keep going.
The way Spo wants to coach is likely not possible with college talent.
Yeah.
Like, he would probably get really frustrated with the level of players he's dealing with.
I disagree, though.
Really?
I think that being a good coach means you've gone through so many years of coaching such a variety of skill levels. Mm-hmm. There's no way that... Like, being a good coach also means that you know basketball really well. That's mm-hmm. It's pretty much as simple as that. And... If you can't coach a team that's not incredible, then you're probably not a good coach. I mean, like, you wouldn't say Darvin Ham is a good coach. If the Lakers won the finals this year, you wouldn't say, oh, Darvin Ham's a great coach.
I'd say he's
you'd
a fine
say the
coach.
Team is good. Yeah, that's what you'd say. And if you can't coach a team that's worse, like, I mean, I guess Juwan Howard is not a good coach. I was about to say something about Juwan Howard, but, I mean, Juwan Howard is a bad coach because he coached a Michigan team that had potential but was not a great team when he started.
Right.
It's just, that's just the measure of who's a good coach and who isn't.
Yeah, there's also a different dynamic in college, though.
Like, he just has an understanding of how basketball is supposed to be played that applies to anyone who's playing. I mean, maybe it doesn't apply to, like, rec league guys, 12-year-olds playing rec league, but, like, it applies to college players who know how to play basketball.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a different type of player development that you're doing at the college level, but I think because Spo is such a good development coach at the NBA level, he would thrive in a college atmosphere, especially given the nature of having to figure out matchups on the fly, and, like, you're playing tournament games against these weird offenses, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I have a... But then, look at Hurley. Could Hurley do it in the NBA? Or is he just strictly college?
I think it's harder to do... college to NBA or high school to NBA or high school to college.
It's a completely different game.
What makes Hurley so good, I think, is much more about personalities
and character.
And
it's like character building.
And discipline and buying into programs. If you're in the NBA, there are guys who are like buying into a program looks a lot different in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, some of those guys don't have to buy in to play well and to do what you need them to do.
They got
do.
The money coming.
Like, I wouldn't look at Kawhi and be like, I would never think Kawhi's bought into anything. He's not really bought into, like, a thing in his life in general.
His family and the money that he's making at playing at the highest level. Like, that...
I don't know if he... I mean, that's kind of out of nowhere. But I don't know if he's even... like, all in on that. He's just, like, kind of a... In high, like, for example, in college, being bought into the program is, like, you're super intense about it. You're like going to crazy difficult practices every day. It's not really as independent as the NBA is. In the NBA, you're like left to your own devices. Like, you got to get this good in this amount of time, and you got to do it on your own time. But you have to come to practice and stuff. But
I guess in college, I mean, that's interesting, because in college as a player, you've got 4 years. Like,
but you're also not, you're working out on your own, I guess, but not really. You're pretty much working out with the team, and that's it. I mean, you don't have time. Like, college athletes are most of their time is spent with the team grinding. And in the NBA, I mean, that's happening a lot, obviously, but you have to do, like, your own training. You have to get your own, like, regiment going and stuff like that. Like, it's getting college guys to, like, buy in is looks much different than getting NBA guys to buy in.
Yeah, and then when they do eventually buy in, I think the money changes the dynamic of what buying in actually looks like.
Yeah.
You know, you're not making sacrifice in the same type of way. I mean, it's definitely a different dynamic to decide you want to be great for a franchise or a program that's only paying you in scholarship. Now with NIL, it's different.
Yeah, I was going to say, does NIL change that much?
It's changed a little bit, but I don't think there's too many kids who aren't making that much off NIL. For them, like, they're doing this in service of the program, but they're also doing it in service of their NBA dreams, some of them. Some of them have no chance of making the big money, so they're just, like, devoting themselves to the sport because they love it and they want to make their coach proud, make their family proud.
I have a slightly related question that's going to slightly derail our conversation. Would you take an NIL deal if it was to be in a Charmin Ultra Soft commercial and the subject of the commercial was, like, I'm Owen Swiggle and I'm Charmin Ultra Soft, and it's like clips of Owen getting dunked on and getting crossed up and stuff. So, like, basically you're the butt of the joke and you're being like, oh, it's Charmin Ultra Soft, it's so soft.
Boom on his head.
Yeah. So you're basically the face, like, of soft basketball players.
It's like me getting just like talk to the whole, just getting my,
yeah, you're just getting, people are tripping at you and you're just not yeah, say
I
just, anything
and
back.
I can't, and
you're,
I can't,
like, hey,
score.
Stop,
they're they're chanting, like, they're giving me overrated chance and I just can't hit.
So that's it's so, like, let's say your NIL,
like,
deal,
they made a mixtape of me and as Clay in game, the,
yeah,
the, you know what I'm talking about, like, the, yeah, playing game, it's just like, yeah, that, like, it's just,
yeah, just clips of you
just
shooting over
disrespect.
12.
Yeah.
But so here's the thing. So your NIL deal is, let's say it's $800K.
Okay.
You're never going to get another NIL deal, and you're not going to make it to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a pretty good college basketball player, although you've now admitted to the public that you are the softest player.
Do I have an overseas career after this?
Well, so that's the thing.
You
might.
Like, why no one might start calling?
Yeah, well, but seeing that commercial wouldn't turn people off to you necessarily because they know it's a commercial. Yeah.
No,
but you tarnish your reputation forever. You're going to get,
like
slander on the internet.
Yeah.
But you do
get
800K.
They're going to call me ultra soft.
Yeah, they're going to call you ultra soft. But you get 800K and you get to, like, go play overseas with, like, you get a lot of seed money.
Yeah.
I'm taking it.
Yeah, I think so.
I would low-key take it anyway, like, just for, like,
just for the banter?
Just $40. Give me an NIL deal for $40 and just be like, this is Xander, the worst player in NBA history, and they just don't be, this is not what you want to be, or something, and just show clips of me.
Sweet, $40.
Yeah, slightly different question that kind of builds off this.
But
if you're in the NBA and you have the opportunity to cultivate your brand image, are you going to be a, like, really low-key type of guy and, like, do, like, only...
Shea?
Someone like Shea, like, more of a...
Is he low-key? I feel like
He has a specific brand image that he's cultivated. Yeah. But, like, would you be doing any commercial that pays you, or would you, like, cultivate a little image, you know?
I would get sick of commercials, I imagine, if I was in the NBA.
Like Boban doing Goldfish commercials?
Yeah, like, it's
yeah,
just
like
corny.
I wouldn't do Goldfish.
I would never do some corny commercials. Only some, like, high fashion.
I always tell myself, like, oh, if I was in the NBA...
If I was in the NBA, yeah, I would wear the most sinister stuff.
I would
stuff.
Only do, like...
That's also really tracks that, like, Jonah would do high fashion. Jonah's like,
I would only
on, like,
do high fashion.
Only high fashion. Like, I would
but
only,
that would be,
like
cool
Rick
if you were an NBA player that was, like, only in, like... Balenciaga ads or, like, whatever.
What, like, Luke Cornett?
Yeah, Luke, that's Cornett. The thing is, like, if you saw, like, a Jewish man named Jonah Cowan in the NBA and he was just only on he was only on Balenciaga or, like, whatever.
Valentino.
Yeah. That'd be funny. I always tell myself, like, if I was in the NBA or if I was, like, famous at all, I would just do whatever I could in any situation to be, like, as funny and out of character as possible. So, like, if I'm in the NBA, I'm taking commercials that are, like, regional mattress store commercials or something like that.
Of an out-of-market, not your home market, not your team's market.
Just, like, the type of, or, like, those lawyers that have jingles and billboards all over LA. Like, I'm Jacob and Ronnie.
certified. Like, you get an ad with
him. I feel like there's some, like, there's some people out there on the internet whose, like, internet personality is exactly that. Like, every time they're on camera, they're trolling. Like,
I guess so.
But Jimmy Butler-esque. Jimmy, that's good. That's
kind
good
of, but even Jimmy Butler, like, does normal ads. I mean, you can't avoid doing normal ads. Everyone has to do a normal
ad. No, but I'm saying just, like, anytime, like, they're on the post game mic after there's guys who just, like, every word that comes out of their mouth, it's them just trolling.
That would definitely be me in the end.
Like, people, like when they're at the Oscars, the second the camera cuts to them, they're doing something trolling. Yeah. Like,
but that's the best kind of, that's the best that's way the to best. Handle your fan.
Yeah, I like it. A bit Jim Carrey-esque, I guess.
Okay, I want to read a PSA. If you want to cue some music up, you should probably do that, because I can't do it.
I'm going to cue some music and then go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to take these off your head.
What shall we read today? Okay. Why not cover your computer camera? Wait. The mic's off?
Oh, just my hard mic.
This is scuffed. Okay, there we go.
Just me now. Me and my microphone. Why not cover your computer camera? If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use that webcam, why not cover that camera up with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. This is a message in the public interest from WFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio. Anyways, back to our, let's just see. See who I'm gonna play.
I'm gonna use them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a. If I'm gonna say something, please cover your computer camera. If you don't, how will your teacher not see that you're, I'm gonna stop talking.
Okay, well, that whole time when you were ranting, I was just watching you, like, trying to see, like, if I could figure out where this was going. Like, I was just, like looking at, what? And this, the second you said it, I was like, ah, there it is.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. king of rap, I could bet my money on that. Can't face the facts that a young guy killing shit. Give me another shot and I'ma come with my mask on. Seen a lot of growth since I came with the van song. Now it's 09 and I'm running with the bass guy. Fire in my eyes, mix my soul with the napalm. Mix and master, all I need is Dro and one mic, one pad, one pen, iPod, dim lights. Feeling like a plane when it's up and it's in flight. Dressing every day like I'm dead with the pinstripe. There's a few things that show I'm the raw. Spend the cash every day, so I'm balding like Spalding. Want beef, Block 6, how you balding like Baldwin? Your favorite rapper out, I'ma lay him in the coffin. No talking when I'm talking, cause it's legend, pay attention. Only time I sat in class is when I'm serving the detention. I fuck with Soulja Boy, get money, nigga. Every time I see rappers, all I'm thinking, I'ma get them. In the booth, in the streets, I've been known to tear and rip them. 15 and 16, eyes breaking down the system. Nobody could tell me nothing, I was living off my system. Head fucked up, I thought it would be cool to go to prison. Watching Hot Boys on BET, getting all these women. So I got my gold grill because I'm thugged out with them. B-Town, what a front I put on for my city. Who done did it for 6 years? Just reached 20. A lot of dudes I grew up with didn't see 20. Every time I have a birthday, I'm thinking God love me. Every time I hit the beat, man, I do it for my mom. Working hard every day, I'ma make it where it's mine. I'ma hustle all the time like Lil Wayne do. If you up against me, you get ate like grapefruit. My first reaction was like, just chill and stay cool. The rap game is slow and it just ain't cool. Always jocking on my style and just ain't you. Only time I feel you is if a bass boy do. Because I'm a rap guy and a bass boy too. I can listen to the hate and put the volume on mute. So the only thing I hear is the horses in the coop. And when the roof go down, it remind me of my chick getting money off the flow. Because I'm trapping like a bitch, like Gucci Man said, but it's rich nigga click. And my name's Lil B, you can call me king of rap. And I done did a few things, and I never going back. Mirror, mirror on the wall, should I ask you who the man is? Lil B for Lil Boss, I'm praying to my canvas. I deserve the crown because I'm speaking for the masses. And I'm in the weed, I'm getting chiefy like Kansas. Word to the wise, you should fear the competition. Cause I'm only vet, that's the base guy.
You turn our mic on.
Yeah, you're on now. We back.
That was B.O.R., Birth of Rap by Lil B.
And you're listening to Airball. And this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Dude, I just watched the craziest Twitter video.
You want to describe it to the audience?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy's on like a paramotor, 85 to 100 feet in the air. His name's Anthony Vella. It's on YouTube now. It's a video. This guy, 100 feet in the air. His paramotor parachute fails. He just drops straight to the ground, 100 feet. And while he's on the ground, pulls out his phone. Hey, Siri, call 911. Gets 911 to come. And apparently, he comes away with, like, broken neck, back, ribs.
Oh, my God.
Like, shattered arm. But what? It's on video, too. Like, he posted it to YouTube. He posted it to YouTube and was like, I'm good, guys. Like
that's a dark video.
Yeah, I think the account was like Morbid Knowledge or something.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But yeah. Still,
creepy.org.
Pretty funny. How does the human body survive that? 85 to 100 feet on just hard rock.
Like, and he's got like no parachute or anything.
No, we know he has a parachute, but like it malfunctions, so he just falls.
Is there like a world record competition for like,
yes,
the longest free fall obstructed with no parachute?
Oh, definitely not that. Well,
like,
yes,
so just like,
there is like a box a one. A guy, there's a guy jumping on like boxes.
No, but like, is there one where it's like you know that if you're like, what have they figured out the maximum height you can jump off?
Oh, whoa, that's a good question. I don't know.
Oh yeah, by the way. If you want to call in to this fine show, maybe wait. I think I can do it here. No. There's no phone.
Do we think we have
Matthew
and Aiden listening?
I'm sure that they're listening.
I'm sure they aren't.
If they aren't, then they gotta compartmentalize.
They must compartmentalize.
I'm not gonna do the whole bit, actually.
We don't really got time to do the whole thing.
We've done it too much. It's overdone. Uh-huh.
It's funny, but it's like...
Light Incinerate about? By Sonic Youth. That's a good song.
Light Incinerate.
I can't really give it the whole spiel.
Nah,
can't really tell you where it's in there.
Too many LeBron jokes.
That wasn't LeBron.
Oh, that's Kawhi. That's Kawhi. Right. Every NBA player meme just morphs into LeBron at this point. LeBron. LeBron James.
I hate that You Are My Sunshine memes.
There's a place where dreams are born. It's across the sea and through the storm. Now listen, come with me to this magic hour in ecstasy.
Oh, I know this song. It's from a movie. It's probably from plenty of movies, actually.
I think this specific song was restored by this label called the Numero Group. It's one of these like archival records that just like looks through
that
stuff.
That doesn't really sound like an I think. That sounds like an I know.
Is important distinction must be made.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go.
I know.
Let's
yeah. Go. Semantics, but also,
yeah.
I was layering a bit of deceit within my words.
Okay. We trust a Jonah take, unless it's about Wemby.
Nah, I think all my delusion was right. You want to talk about it right now?
Wemby.
I just don't think we have any conception of how good Wembanyama will be in 5 years. He's going to be the greatest player to ever touch the basketball. He already might be there. No, I'm not there yet. He's not there yet.
He's already the greatest player.
Give him 5 years, though, and we'll be talking about him like we talk about Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. I like that. What a religion of Wembianism? Is that just...
Yeah,
I'm a Wembianist.
I'm a Wembanyamanist.
Wembanyandi?
Wembanyamanomania.
Wembanyamanomania?
I don't know. I hear his brother is coming.
You can get diagnosed with
Wembanyamanism.
Yes,
just like shamanism. I know.
Wembanyamanism? Yeah, I like that. I'd get behind that.
Pause.
Yo, wait. No. Not everything has to be of that nature.
I'm done with pause. I never liked Paws in the first place. That's dumb.
Paw Patrol.
We shouldn't talk about Paws on the internet.
Paws, Paw Patrol, Snow Patrol, Ski Patrol.
You've lost me, I would say. I would say you've officially lost me. What are you talking
Kember
about?
Kember Walker.
What?
What do you mean? What's Paw Patrol?
Like the show.
Yeah, Paw Patrol. What does that have to do with Paws?
You just sing what.
Oh, you were just riffing?
Yeah, I was just riffing.
Okay, that's good.
Like Luke's Twitter.
Yeah.
Luke has a
Shout
Twitter.
Out Luke Azoid. There's no way.
Should we break down? Wait, let's break down some Luca tweets.
Oh, I would love to actually pull up. Well, he's not gonna like.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Well, you're not gonna look on there too.
Which one is the right one, bro? What feels like I'm on your computer and no one has ever done anything on this computer. It's devoid of personality.
What are you talking about?
That's crazy.
Well, here's your. Which is the correct
person one? Devoid of personality.
What's funny is it totally plays into what he was just saying. It's person one, the one that I use. Is person one.
You follow Luca?
Me?
I do. It's not Luca Zorit, so it's not.
What is it?
Wait. Just go to the followers. That's not out of them.
Just let me do it.
We shouldn't even read his tweets there because he doesn't want us to read his tweets.
We're going to read his tweets.
No.
If they're explicit, no.
I'm fucking my tweets. Oh, that'll stop me. I thought you turned my mic down. Plus, I'm in between.
Tristan Tate on the Twitter. Oh, it's a quote tweet, so it's someone analyzing the Twitter. I think this would be an interesting concept for a radio show. You have on a guest.
Explaining tweets.
And no, but you get to look through their tweets, and you get to quiz them on, like, why did you say this?
Is that an accidental Bronson?
Should I read this one?
I already.
My gambling addiction has gotten me in trouble with increasingly obscure ethnic mafias.
Jonah, do you know what this account is?
No.
Okay. Well, I need to give you some context. Right, so, do you know who Action Bronson is?
Action Bronson is a
I don't know who Action Bronson is.
Okay, well, this account is basically posting tweets that sound like they could be Action Bronson bars.
It's just funny.
Yeah, no, but like they're meant to be like rap lines.
Mm. This one is hilarious.
A little context going in.
Without the Action Bronson lyric, it's just hilarious.
My gambling addiction has gotten me in trouble with increasingly obscure ethnic mafias to the point where I'm getting death threats in nearly dead languages. Wait, and then the top comment says, help me, I got assaulted by a gang of people speaking Esperanto.
I don't even know what that is.
Go, Jonah, read through these tweets, because this account is probably my favorite Twitter account.
On this one?
No, Accidental Bronson.
All right, bet.
Let's read through all of that, yeah.
I made the Jehovah's Witness watch me do backflips. Getting custody of my kids and making me do the small gesture.
I wish
I had thought of that.
Yeah.
The way my wrist be whipping this yogurt into a consistent blend.
Some of them are not as good as that.
No, yeah, but some of them are crazy. That's
terrible. I can't see that one. Left. I'm making love to your pillowcase while listening to the Free Willy soundtrack.
That one's kind of.
I want to read some of yours tweets, Xander. These aren't. I like your tweets.
Go to profile. No.
Oh, you're right, yeah. We got,
Yeah.
I dreamt that I was really good at Rainbow Loom and woke up with an intense hunger for an Islands hamburger. Does that mean something?
Fun fact about that tweet, that's a bold-faced lie. I didn't do any of that stuff.
Wow,
I mean, I was craving an Islands hamburger, but I was like, what's something that might lead a person to do that?
Good tweets are just actional bronze.
Oh my god, there's some more. Legitimizing social ecosystems and subjugating technological processes via manipulating figurative neural pathways in the collective hive mind.
That one's important. That one's important because it's sort of a blueprint for the way that we're supposed to compartmentalize our
emotions.
Our neural pathways and our...
I didn't even think of that.
Emotional processes, systems.
That's my favorite saying.
That's
insane. Told my professor that I've skinned a deer alive because I was lying. Mm. Also, I'm lying right now. I didn't do any of this. There's layers of deceit.
So that's actually a true story because I did not actually do any of that. I did actually, in fact, lie about all of that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
So there we go. I'm telling the truth now.
That's my favorite saying.
Oh, that one's basketball related.
Me and a plate of plantains is like Jordan and Pippen.
That's accidental Bronson.
That's actually better.
That actually
when,
is.
When
accidental.
You read into that, Jordan ate Pippen. His son is dating Larsa Pippen.
Oh my god.
So like,
Jonah.
If you go a bit deeper into this, Jordan's family.
What do you mean ate Pippen?
Ate, like figuratively. Like yeah, you don't eat Pippen like you ate a plantain. But your son. I'm going to move on from that tweet. gonna get a tattoo on my birthmark so it looks like Michael Pena.
I just watched something Michael Pena was in, too. I was like, it'd be sick to have him on my body.
Wow. Yeah, well, my ancestors built this quiz.
That one's a little harder. That one's harder to contextualize.
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, I wasn't going to say anything else.
Yeah.
This one I can relate to. Ask literally any Jewish guy from a major city if they took karate lessons as a child.
Yeah. We can riff off that one, actually, because...
Have you guys seen Just For Us yet?
No. What does that mean?
You have to watch that stand-up.
Oh. Yeah, what is that? Who is it?
Alex Edelman. We've been talking about this for, like, 2 weeks now.
Who's but he's we? A,
like, Daniel... Max.
Okay, yeah. A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it's this guy, Alex Edelman. He goes... It's on HBO. He had a one-man Broadway show, and he goes... His show is the story of him when he went to a white nationalist meetup in New York City as a Jew, and he's just, like, telling the story of it all, like, describing each person there, and it's obviously hilarious, and then he slowly starts telling the story of how they started to realize he's Jewish. So it's like...
As did you story, do karate? As a kid? That would actually, honestly, foolproof method of figuring out if someone's Jewish and white and grew up pretty wealthy in a major city.
Did you do karate as a kid?
Yeah. Ask anyone who's Jewish from LA, they probably did karate as a child.
I did karate.
Jonah did karate. I did karate. Matthew did karate. Oh my if God. Owen lived in LA, he would have been karate. On the karate instantly. He would have, the day he turned 3, would have been in
did,
the dojo.
Did Matthew do the same karate, like go to the same place as you?
No. I went to... Shout out Talia Tepper. She replied to my tweet.
To Krav Maga.
She would never in a million years listen to this radio show, but in case she is. Yeah. Okay, that's actually a good point. Go back to that tweet. Go back to that reply. Mm. Talia said, I took Krav Maga. Does that count? No.
No, it doesn't. It
doesn't count at all.
Is she LA?
And I responded, did you also have a Thursday bar mitzvah? Because to me, having a Thursday or bat mitzvah, because for her,
yeah.
Bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
Thursday bat mitzvah, like, that's... Nobody's a Thursday bat mitzvah.
Unless it's in
just
Israel.
Just as nobody takes Krav Maga.
Unless she did hers in Israel.
Okay. Well, her dad is Israeli, actually, so she might have done that.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's kind of a still, crazy thing still, to be
no,
like...
No, no, I just said that out of the blue. I don't think she actually did do that.
You know, I think if...
No, it applies. Like, same applies. It's still, like, who gets a bat
mitzvah? If you are a parent and you need to train your kid in the means of self-defense necessary to survive a life...
What's,
you want to instill Krav Maga into your kid.
I agree.
You
or
want
capoeira.
Your...
Have you seen capoeira?
Yeah, but... Yeah,
it's like Krav Maga without weapons, right?
No.
It's not even...
It's
not
like
even.
Dancing.
It's just
a
like dancing.
Dance.
It's like
art.
Dance fighting.
That's pretty sick. Like, it's like you're training your kid to be a spy.
I watch people do capoeira, and I'm like, this is applicable to zero situations. This is the only class you can take that is literally applicable to no situation.
Like, yeah, I learned capoeira, and like, now what do I do with
yeah,
it? Like,
the knowledge and skills that you gain from capoeira class cannot be used in any other context other than class.
It's facts. Huh?
Yeah, and I mean, at least if you're taking a dance class, like...
Arguably, that's a good class to go to, because it's like, wow, I want to get the experience of going to a class that's totally pointless.
Ladies and gentlemen... We do not promote capoeira at all.
Your ball is anti-capoeira.
We should have joined like an association of people who hate capoeira.
Anti-capoeira.
And lobby in favor of banning
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Such a thing must exist.
That's a part of the believing in Wembanyamaism.
What if Wembanyama did capoeira? Like imagine
that
three of
them. That would be horrifying.
Like imagine he learned how to do it on the court so when he gets into a
like,
scuffle.
You like you're like going like this,
like a woo, like the arm spin.
See, to our listeners, you can't see what I'm doing, but you sort of extend your arms a lot.
This looks like a Fortnite dance.
If Wembanyama was like moving around like methodically, outstretching his arms to their full length, that would be enough to scare me. I would walk the other direction.
Capoeira, that's crazy. Yeah, Wembanyama would probably be a capoeira champion. Like, he'd probably be...
How do you win in capoeira? Don't you, like, not hit them?
I don't know. I don't know anything about capoeira.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, what even is capoeira?
At the end, you'd, like, hug your...
You
maybe
hug?
It's not actually, like, hitting.
This I don't think you ever make contact with another person. I don't know what happens in capoeira.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I shouldn't
rounds?
Even be speaking on capoeira class because
capoeira?
I don't know what happens.
It's probably, like, an interpretive dance in which both participants attempt to woo the other with their capoeira.
Which you said that like you were reading a Merriam-Webster definition.
Yo, can you unlock your computer?
Like, I wanna, like, do you think there's like a goat of capoeira?
Should I look him up? Let's figure it out.
Yeah, look up goat. Capoeira goat. Well, actually, maybe don't look it up like that. Cause
development of capoeira. They would jump into each other just like a little...
No, but... there's different eras to the capoeira.
I don't think capoeira is a sport, though.
There's different eras to capoeira, though. Like, the goat of the first era can't be compared to the goat of the second. It's a different game.
The roots of capoeira...
Capoeira has changed so much.
You know, I mean...
Okay, I don't need to read all this right now. It's pretty cool, but I don't need to...
I mean, they
should we play some capoeira music?
They extended the line in the capoeira.
Like, no capoeira music? I'm kind of curious.
Play like a lullaby.
Is
it against the WMFO rules?
They extended the end line in capoeira, bro.
The what?
The end line.
Mike's getting cut.
This is a capoeira song.
What you're listening to right now is a capoeira song called Toca Angola. Why do I hear Stereo Lab in the background too? Where is Stereo Lab coming from?
Icon?
Oh, it was from Revendell.
Jonah.
For context, this is capoeira. Alright, let's try a new one. Let's
Bohemian
see what other
Rhapsody.
So that was an instrument called the Berimbau. But we're gonna listen to another.
Okay, let's
wait, hold up, Alexander, we're trying something here, alright?
Pandero.
The pandero. Bom dia, the pandero. Oh, this is like a tutorial on how to like play it.
Pandeiro normal, o som do couro, ele é um pouco mais grave, né?
Mais grave.
O outro pandeiro tem um som meio agudo, é melhor que o pagode.
Don't speak Portuguese,
então,
saying,
vamos lá dar uma olhada, né? É, primeiro
Victor
som,
Wembanyama is one of the most promising young talents in the NBA.
Alright, I'm gonna try a new one. This is called the Atabaco. Atabaco.
Galera,
todo mundo. Essa é a segunda parte do...
Yeah, eu aprendi um pouquinho português, pero...
Your accent is a little hard to believe.
Yeah, so. I can't. El problema es porque cuando estás hablando en español, aprendiendo portugués messes up your Spanish, like, really bad. Yeah. Entonces, no sé. Hay oportunidades aquí para hablar español en el radio también.
Yeah, except for that most of our listeners.
Yeah, lo está un problema.
I'm going to speak in English still, because that's what people will understand, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, no. Hay estaciones donde los
that's
true. Escuchantes pueden no ir en español. Okay, no more. Yeah, there's Spanish dedicated stations, which would make no sense to subject the normal three listeners of WMFO to Spanish.
Pelota Arre está aquí en el estudio.
¿Quieres hacer un poquito? Wait. Oh, ¿estás tomando una clase de español ahora?
No, pero no pasado yo tomando.
Okay.
Sí, also we're going to Madrid, both of us.
Ah, muy bien. Están viajando en Madrid.
I'm not going to Syracuse, by the way. I'm doing NYU.
Okay.
Bomb dropped on the radio.
All right, I'm kind of just curious. If we just go on YouTube and look for things, like, I think we can find some funny stuff.
Chill beats.
Chill, oh my gosh, chill beats.
Can we watch, you like the Harry Mack, the guy who freestyles? See that guy?
Is it a white guy?
Yeah. Oh, that guy.
The benefits of Grammarly Premium. Music,
Egypt, a premium plan with Grammarly.
Okay. Yeah, Grammarly. I'm going to object to
this
ad.
Not the best use of our radio time.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny, though. And also, like, we're on our, like, brain rot right now a little bit. This is a nice beat to talk over. Sleep. Some basketball with this stuff. This is called Wonderful Chill Out Music, Egypt and India Balance Mix. It's kind of nice.
Do you guys think Quincy Pondexter is the next Anthony Bonner?
Do you think Lethal Shooter is the next Marcus Aurelius?
Wow. I don't think so.
I think I need to help.
They do different things in society, I might say.
Lethal shooter.
They have a similar tenacity and drive to win.
Wow. A similar level of control over their own respective domains, one being an empire and one being the shooting forms of prominent NBA players.
Yeah.
Your turn.
I think I could do Lethal Shooter's job quite easily.
I disagree with you.
Well, there's an ego thing there. You know, so you're telling a grown man who should know how to shoot a basketball how to shoot a basketball.
That's how you're taking in these Lethal Shooter videos?
I mean, like, damn, Lethal Shooter has to pull up to the gym one day, look at Ben Simmons in the eye and be like, you're a grown man and you cannot shoot a basketball.
So, wait, but grown, it's not like grown men just know how to do everything perfectly.
Is his jumper even that nice? Like, I feel like his jumper's not, like, Lethal the Shooter? Most attractive of jumpers.
He has a good
pretty,
jumper.
I mean, it's pretty nice, but it's also, it's less about, like, his jumper being the best jumper.
Not about his mechanics.
More, yeah, it's like about how teaching mechanics.
Yeah.
Also, it's so successful. Like, he makes so many shots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He must just know what
is there a Lethal Shooter, like, jump shot archetype in 2K?
I think there is now.
You kind of shoot like him a little bit, Xander. Yeah.
It's kind of a fling. I used to, like, try to shoot like him, and then in my head I was shooting like him. I would watch videos back, and I would be shooting nothing like him.
You shoot over your head, which is how Lethal Shooter shoots. He shoots like a guy from Occidental College named Michael Wells, like, constructed his shot.
Wait, why is Oxy getting mentioned? What?
Wait, what?
That's the heritage of my game. Occidental College. I would always go to Oxy camps.
Oh, that's
I
funny.
Do too, but
we probably went to the same camps.
Well, they canceled it. The one I went to got canceled midweek because it was 110 degrees and they kept making us play outside.
That's a bummer. Jonah, do you remember when you got dropped at an Occidental camp? That was in.
It probably was. You know, the thing
Fun
is...
Fun fact, Matthew Tenzer got his ankles broken in our intramural game last year. Fun fact.
For like, fully dropped?
Yeah, he fell over.
Did Matthew break me today? I think he did. Someone broke me today.
I didn't see it.
It was I was playing hard defense. You know, it's what happens when you're putting in a lot of effort on the court. You know, sometimes you slip and fall. Sometimes you break your ACLs.
I broke someone last year, but I can't remember who it was.
I absolutely cooked someone in the gym, and then I missed the layup.
Today?
No, this is like 2 weeks ago.
No.
Today I was cooking everyone.
Yeah.
As soon as I step onto that outdoors court, something changes. A flip is switched. A switch is flipped. I go menacing.
Yeah. They should make a documentary about Jonah on the outdoor courts.
That's what I'm saying. Me arguing with the... Yo, if you by any chance right now happen to be... Today we were playing basketball. I'm gonna do a little PSA of my own. I'm going to do this for the listeners who are from the area who may or may not know Mary Lou Ann Basketball Court Park. We were trying to play basketball today on this beautiful, pristine court in Somerville, in Davis Square. And a troupe of K-pop dancers comes up to us and is like, no, we need this court to record a dance video. They're all wearing, some Hogwarts clothing. They're all dressed like they're in Gryffindor, you know? And I'm like, no, this is not a dancing court. This is a basketball court.
It's a public basketball court.
This is a public basketball court. And they say, we have it reserved. And I look at them dead in the eye. I'm like... With whom's?
No, they don't.
You are lying to me. You, Mrs.
If you're listening, we don't hate you. We're not mad. We're just very disappointed.
We're deeply disappointed that you would lie about a public permitting issue.
Also, we saw the dancing you were doing, and it really felt like it was irrelevant to a basketball court, and you could have been doing it in any
literally space. Anywhere else. Then the worst part...
Let alone public space. You could
have
been doing it
in the kids in the neighborhood wanted to play on that court. Little Eddie, little Henry... You know, little hoopers. They wanted to play.
Nice.
And the reality was that you looked them dead in the eye and said, I'm going to take your dreams away. I'm going to take your basketball court away.
Jonah almost brought the two worlds together.
We got to play this.
By getting the kids to play basketball in the music video. But
they were trying to disturb them. They said, we have troublemakers coming. And I didn't say no to disturb them.
To be fair to the K-pop dancers... Those kids were trying to pop a basketball, which is like the loudest sound possible.
Yeah. And
I would not have appreciated
like,
that.
Like, they were doing that thing where like they pump it up really, really full.
And they tried
to just smash it.
Thankfully, it didn't work. because I would have been really pissed if it was.
How loud does that get?
Really loud. It's so loud.
Like it hurts your ears loud?
I think so. From what I've seen in videos, it's, I've never heard it that loud. I've
never heard it like so the fearful sound of a basketball pumping. Yeah.
It's like a terrible sound.
In case you're wondering what we're listening to, this is wonderful chill out music. Egypt and India balance mix.
Yo,
this one's coming from
on.
World Beat Express. They're big. They're coming up.
World Beat Express.
They are waxing. They are waxing gibbous.
This is this is a big hit of theirs.
This might be my last song. My last hurrah.
All right. This is no longer wonderful chill out music. Egypt and India balance mix. This is Fiesta Mexicana.
Accent included.
Calm down, I gotta do an outro. I'm gonna cut your guys' mic off in 1 second. Yeah, I'm gonna cut it off. I just wanted to thank anyone that listened, anyone that tuned in. You know, it's hard out here being on the radio, and you guys, the listeners, are really what keeps me going. So I just wanted to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for listening. If we made you laugh, if we made you cry, if we made you question everything.
No, I think that was the feeling now.
Please stop talking. Oh my god. This is 91.5. FM. Oh my god. And you're listening to WMFM for Tough Street from Radio. This was Airball. I'm Jonah. I was joined with, oh my god, these immature children in the studio with me. Owen Swagel, Xander Penn, credits Lucas Zorich, Matthew Tenzer.